Hey everyone, as you know, Ainsley and I are not here today. We're actually in Italy. We're getting ready to do ministry this week in churches and in a conference and pouring into leaders and hopefully bringing some great development in their lives as they think about planting new churches. But I wanted to take a moment to introduce to you our speakers this morning. In a few moments, Pastor Steve will interview Colin and Dorsley Gittin. These are two of my friends. Colin sat around our district executive table for a number of years, and I got to know Colin during that time. He's pastored in Ontario for over 35 years, and here they are in their retirement years, heading out to Guyana. And they'll share more about that story in a few moments. Right now, you'll have the privilege of hearing somebody who's familiar to our congregation, and I want to introduce to you our Executive Director for Mission Global. Would you welcome Murray Cornelius as he comes to share a missions report.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. It's just a real delight to be here. I'm here with my wife, Cindy, but it's also a delight to be with Colin and Dorsley. You're going to enjoy getting to know them and meet them. And it's a privilege just to be able to give a very brief update on a few things that are happening in the world of Mission Global. If I had time, I would talk to you in terms of rescue, that God is on a rescue mission in this world. He is rescuing people from false ideologies. He rescues people from very difficult circumstances. He rescues people from human trafficking. God is a God who rescues. He rescued us, and in turn, he wants us to be rescue agents in the world. And so we thank you for your partnership. Thank you for supporting the global workers that you support. I saw them all on the wall out there. You support the Ruttons. You support the Williams, who we just saw, Peter and Patty DeWitt. Thank you for your support of them, for others that you are caring for and supporting. I just want to express our appreciation to you for all that you do, for Mark and Kim Steinfeld, who you care for. I want to give you a little update on Ukraine and our response in Ukraine as well as Russia. But just a little text from Scripture. It's hard not to read that list that Jesus gives us that says, these are all the things that are going to happen in the end times. It's hard not to read that list over and over again these days. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. There is a terrible famine taking place right now in sub-Saharan Africa, in the Sahel region. It is one of the worst we have seen in decades. And people are literally faced with starvation on a daily basis. We're there trying to respond in the midst of that. It also says that you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Next Sunday is also the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And around the world today, there are people who are not free to come into a context like this and express their worship of Jesus without fear, without fear of being raided by the police, without fear of having their buildings burned down, without fear of having their houses, without fear of losing their jobs because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, that will happen. Don't be surprised. But I like this. At the very end it says, and this gospel will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So we're not alarmed by what's happening in the world. We as Christians do not become anxious and worried. We recognize that all this has been predicted or told to us by Jesus as this is what will happen. It's how we respond to it that's important. It's how we respond to it. There's also that promise in Acts chapter 2 where Jesus says, in the last day, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men and women will see visions. Your Old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. God is pouring out his spirit all over the world today, and if I had time to tell you, I'd tell you about revivals taking place in North Africa, in Ethiopia, in Egypt. I'd talk to you about what's happening in Indonesia today. God is at work in significant ways in our world. I've just been a part of two conferences that bring leaders from around the world together. One in Medellin, Colombia. We had 57 nations represented there within the Assemblies of God family of churches. And what I want you to know is that everyone everywhere needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's this great spirit of collaboration that is taking place right now. People from, we think sometimes that global workers are people that tend to go from the West to the rest of the world. That is not true anymore. We have people coming from every nation to every nation. The Latin American church is sending out global workers. The African church is sending out global workers. The Asian church, the Korean church. The other conference I was at was in Korea, and we gathered people from all over the world, and the theme was, how do we get the gospel to everyone, everywhere in this world? We have the technology to do that. We have the capacity to do that today. And that is what God is calling us to do. We just turned over 8 billion people on the earth today. About 2 billion are believers, followers of Jesus in some way. About 650 million are part of the Pentecostal charismatic family that we are a part of. But every day, there are new people that need to hear about Jesus Christ. So, from everywhere to everywhere. You might be interested. Here's a picture of 2 Ivorian families. My wife and I had the privilege of welcoming them to Canada. They are sent by the church in Ivory Coast to come to Canada, particularly to French Canada. One of the families is working right across the river in Gatineau with Pastor Bruno Savard. The other family is working in LaSalle in Montreal with Pastor Gaetan and Jacinthe Gaucher. Here you have people from Africa sent back to Canada to help us to reach French Canadian people in this country. That's the way God is working today, from everywhere to everywhere. Let me give you an update on our response in Ukraine. And it's easy when we talk about the war to focus all of our attention on Ukraine. I want to talk about Russia for a moment. We have had global workers in Russia, working in Russia. We have been involved with the Russian church. And the Russian church today is being persecuted. It's under pressure. The government is trying to force the people in the church in Russia, the churches, to sign documents to say they are in support of the war. And if they are not in support of the war, then their churches will be deregistered. Many Christian people are being conscripted into the army. But let me introduce you to Roman and to Alexander and Elena Pershaga. And these folks are originally Ukrainian, both of them. They went to Moscow where they planted a church, and they now have about 600 or 700 churches that are a part of the Russian Assemblies of God and the Ukrainian Assemblies of God. They had to flee Russia when the war started. There was a warrant out for Alexander's arrest because he has been outspoken against the war. And he has actually said to his people in the church, if you get conscripted, rather go to prison than fight. It's a strong, strong statement, but they have been very supportive, and we have global workers that work alongside them and with them. So pray for the church in Russia, and I'm going to talk about our global workers to Russia in just a moment. But in Ukraine, we have been responding to the refugee crisis there. This is Ed Dixon in this next picture. Ed Dixon works with a whole group of churches across Ukraine. He's been living in Ukraine for many years and married to a Ukrainian lady. And Through our churches across Canada, we have now raised just over $2.2 million that has gone to help refugees, displaced people. There are 7 million Ukrainians that have left the country. There are 7 million Ukrainians inside the country that have been displaced from their homes. And you can imagine, with that many refugees, the pressure on neighboring countries and on the western side of Ukraine has been incredible. I got a report from the Volodya, the president of our Bible college in Lviv, just saying, can you guys continue to pray for us? Our whole school is full of refugees. They had students all across the nation. Many of them have had to come back from the satellite schools and are refugees in that part of the world. But we want to thank the Canadian churches for raising over $2.2 million to go into a rescue effort to help the people in this part of the world. Well done. Just to give a context, in Poland, where most of them have arrived, we've worked with the Polish Pentecostal Church. We actually have a warehouse there that's filled with food. The food goes across into Ukraine. The buses bring back refugees. Food goes across into Ukraine. The Russians bring back the buses bring back refugees. So we have been very, very active in responding to what's been happening in that part of the world. So thank you for your support. This next picture here is of Alexei and Tanya. And I love this story. Alexei and Tanya work with Alexander and Elena in Moscow. They were one of their church planters. They were working out, had just planted a new church in Novosibirsk. Alexei is Russian. Tanya is Canadian from Saskatoon. And they met in Russia, got married. They have adopted three beautiful children who are now grown. They are of Russian descent, and they also had to leave the country because of Tanya's passport. She is a Canadian and therefore unwelcome in Russia. And the Lord opened a door for them to go to Turkey, and in Turkey, and this is the way God works, they are a part of looking after 1,000 Ukrainian children who were displaced, orphans, nowhere to go, and they're now living in Antalya, Turkey, and Alexei and Tanya are part of caring for them, and we've been putting some money into support of those children in that part of the world. So the Lord takes a Russian and a Canadian to help Ukrainian children in Turkey. That's the way God works. The next picture are Ilya and Janet Bantsev, who Ilya was born and raised in Russia. He and his family left way back in the 1980s when there was an opportunity to get out of the country. And Ilya left because he didn't want to sign a document that would say he was in support of the Communist Party. And so he fled. He met Janet at a refugee camp in Europe. She came from Times Square Church in New York City. And they got married and they ended up coming to Canada. And then in 1993, they went back to Russia and they planted a church. They planted about 30 or 40 churches in Siberia, in Russia. They do an incredible job. They've raised four beautiful kids who are also part of our global worker family now. Ilya and Janet said to me a number of years ago, I still remember, they said, you know, at some point in the future, we believe that God is calling us to Israel. And I said, why Israel? They said, well, because there's over 1 million Russians in Israel, and we need to take the gospel to those people. Well, the war came. They have Canadian and American passports. They are persona non grata in Russia. They had to flee, and it was quite a story just getting out of the country. It's not easy to leave when you're not supposed to leave. But they got out of the country, and they went to Israel. And today they are planting a church in Israel in a city called Modi'in between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. That's how God works, and they are reaching out to those 1 million Russians who live in Israel today. So pray for them. In the midst of these wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of things, God is at work in powerful, unique ways. And I just look back in amazement and say, Lord, what are you going to do next to surprise us with your grace and your concern and your sovereign control of everything that's taking place? They just had a pastors' conference in Armenia. They had all of their pastors. They managed to get their pastors that they work with. Next picture, please. They got all of their pastors that they work with, and they got them into Armenia. And these are some of their church planters and pastors from Russia. And they were there just having a week of encouragement, praying with them, helping them to prepare for the work that's ahead of them. So do pray for the church in Russia today. It is under incredible pressure. Pray for the church in Ukraine and those neighboring countries, Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, Moldova, Romania, all of which have received refugees out of Ukraine. So the Lord has rescued us. We need to be part of being rescue agents. One of the things I do every summer, and thank you to Community Church for being the sponsoring church in Ottawa, is something I call Ride to Thrive. And I get on my bicycle, and I ride 100 kilometers. I did it 3 times this summer, once here, once in Waterloo, once in Abbotsford. And I had a few riders that came with me. There we are. You recognize some of those people. That's Eric Trombley, the tallest one amongst us. He pastors just down the road here. And Lord Robinson from Carlton Place. And we did our 100 kilometers. I just want to report that collectively across the country, we raised $125,000, all of which goes to help children impacted by war. And so $25,000 is going right to those children in Turkey. $25,000 is going to northern Ethiopia, where a war is still going on, and there's lots of problems, and there's children up there. We'll be helping them. $25,000 is going into Yemen, which is still at war, and $25,000 is going into Myanmar. And then we're using the balance, and we're helping some children in Haiti right now through our global workers in the Dominican Republic. So thank you for your support of my Ride to Thrive. Some of you rode, some of you walked. Next year, we hope we'll have walkers, runners, short bike rides, long bike rides for those who need to go a little bit further. At some point, I'm going to have to stop trying to do 100 kilometers. Couple last things. We are promised, go to slide 15, we are promised that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. There are 3.1 billion people in the world today with little or no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 3.1 billion. Let me show it to you on this map here because it makes it very clear. Those green countries is where the church is present. I think I showed you this map the last time I was here, but I want to remind you. Those green countries is where the church is present. It's present. I drove here this morning and I drove by many churches to get here. We know that Canada has great needs, and we will continue to be a mission agency focused on Canada. Absolutely. But the church is present here. But you look at those brown countries, and in those countries, there is no church. A people with no church, no Bible, no witness. That's where we are focusing our attention these days, and we have people that we are placing all through those places. Maybe you're here this morning and God's put a call on your life. Maybe there's something particular He wants you to do. Don't be afraid to contact us through your church. Come and get a hold of me. I meant to bring some cards along this morning with a nice little QR code on them, and I left them on my table, my dining room table. I had a very long day yesterday. I won't even describe it for you. But come and talk to us. Just as Colin and Dorsa Lee, in sort of retirement, are taking on a whole new ministry. Some of you maybe head off to Florida for warm weather. I got lots of warm places to send you. Come and see me. But there's also 3 billion people who live on less than $5 a day, and this map gives you a picture of that. The darker the country, the poorer the country. So you see that Latin America, where Colin and Dorsa Lee are going, and they will describe some of what they will be doing. But a lot of Africa and India remain places of extreme poverty, and Jesus told us that we need to be part of making a difference in the social circumstances of people around the world. We care for the poor in spirit, and the poor in material things are both on our agenda. So what are we Christians to do in this rather topsy-turvy world that we now live in? Well, I'll tell you what we're not to do. We're not to whine about the moment in which we live. We're not to be complainers and people who are always negative about everything that's happening around us. We need to understand the times, but we need to understand its unique problems, but we must be people with a response, with an action, and it's an action of rescue to help to rescue people out of the darkness of the kingdom of Satan and bring them into the light of the Lord. Jesus said to Paul, "Now stand up and get on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen. I am sending you into the world to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. For he has rescued us from darkness, from the dominion of darkness. He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have the redemption and the forgiveness of sins." If he has done that for us, then we too must be agents of rescue to take the good news of the gospel to people who've never heard it. And let me say this. It's only good news if it gets there in time. We need to go. God bless you this morning.
Thank you so much. We're going to call on the Gittins to come up here. And as they're on their way up, we have just a short video that we'd love to share with you.
Hello, friends. We are Colin and Dorsey Gittins, global workers for future deployment to Guyana in South America. As global workers, we are part of Mission Global, the missional wing of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada.
The country of Guyana has a population of less than 1 million people, of which over 41% of its peoples live on less than $5.50 US a day. In addition, their unemployment rate is among the highest in South America. But the troubled economic reality in Guyana goes way beyond unemployment, way beyond poverty and hunger. Rather, the state of hopelessness and a lack of spiritual awareness is what has really compelled us to focus our attention on this country and its people. We have felt a strong leading, indeed a strong prompting of the Holy Spirit, to go and demonstrate God's love and compassion to the people of this country. And so a strong resolve is to reach the lost for Christ, to train and mentor young people for leadership, to give a solid biblical foundation to children, and to endeavor to address some of the day-to-day needs of the people. To be able to successfully fulfill this calling, we now ask you to partner with us in prayer and financial support. For with God's help, together we can bring a positive and eternal change to the lives of many.
You can learn more about us and for what God has called us to do by visiting our mission page at the link that appears on the screen. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to share the vision with you today. God bless you. Colin and Dorsey Gittins.
Awesome. Well, it is so nice to meet you, Colin and Dorsey. Thank you for being with us this morning. And let's welcome them here, yeah? There we go.
Thank you. Awesome.
Would you just tell us a little bit about your ministry history and what has brought you to this point?
Awesome. But before I do that, let me just say a very special thanks to Pastor Jeff and the entire staff here for inviting us to this wonderful mission-based congregation. We feel blessed just walking in your hallways and seeing all the pictures of your short-term mission trips. That's just absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much. How about ministry? Oh, certainly, we do have a history. And as Murray said, we have been pastoring for over 35 years, and we have been in four different congregations in 35 years, and almost four different portfolios. We started as spiritual life director, and then we moved to Christian ministries director, then to lead pastor, and then to interim pastor, and very shortly, we are going to be moving to global workers, and we're all excited about this.
And for me, I have been in various areas of ministry. Obviously, it's been over four decades. So I started out first as in the Sunday school with children. That's always seemed to be where my heart is, with children. Even as a primary school teacher, it was always in the kids' departments that I worked. Then we moved from there. I moved on to being altar worker, giving leadership to the greeters and ministry. Giving oversight to the seniors ministry as I became a senior myself, and also to the women's ministry. So it has been from youth right up to seniors, God has been able to use me, and I'm so blessed to have been there.
That's awesome. So now you're of, well, retirement age. We'll put some quotations in there. Why have you chosen to go into missions instead of simply resting after all of these years of ministry?
That's a great question. First and foremost, it's a calling. It's a calling. And 21 years ago, I remember just before 9/11, we were preparing some furniture to move into a new building, and I sensed clearly the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart that towards the end of my ministry, that he will call us to missions. And over the years, we kept wondering, where can that be? Where will it be? When will that start? And over the last 2 years, through a recognizant trip that some of our leaders here in Canada made to Guyana, and a number of other strong stirrings from the Holy Spirit, we realized that, yeah, it's time for us to go and give back to a developing country where people really need to know Jesus as Lord and Savior.
You sort of answered this question, but what really did stir your heart for Guyana?
The stirring, I believe, came year after year as we saw the pathetic state in which the people lived. It's interesting, but you can read hopelessness on a person's face. And I used to say to Dorsley, something strange used to happen to me every time the plane touches down in Guyana. I'm not given to depression, but every time the plane touched down in Guyana, I felt a depression come over me. And I realized what it was after a while. It was the fact that people were literally in bondage in their own country, no opportunities for growth, education, and worst of all, the gospel being spoken into their lives. And so as we looked at all of this, we realized that these folks were victims. And the Holy Spirit said to us, we are compelled to take the love of God back to these people in Guyana.
And for me, that is actually true, because I have said over the years, if it's one gift that I personally believe the Lord has given to me, it's to love people. And when I say love people, I don't mean just I and by. God has always given me that desire to love people. And so it was easy for me to accept that Guyana would be the place. And to be honest, I must confess, when it finally decided on Guyana, I thought, why Guyana? And then I thought, why not Guyana? Guyana missions is all about people, and Guyana has a lot of people. And for me, just to cite one incident that occurred quite recently, we were down in Guyana in August with one of our churches here in Ontario. And when I saw that we ministered to over 400 plus children during a 2 week period. But one of the things that's etched in my heart, it's a little boy. He was about, I would say, 6 years old, no more, maybe seven. And he just kept walking around and following me around. And I said to him one day, come on over here. And I gave him a hug and I said, how can I pray with you? And even to tell you what he said still brings tears to my heart. This six-year-old said to me, can you pray that the people, you people who came from Canada, would love me? And I thought,
What type of life, what has he experienced at such a young age that he's asking not for food, not for anything except that we love him? That has been edged in my heart. And my desire is to connect with him wherever he is when we return to Guyana.
Wow. Could you speak of maybe some of the other needs of Guyana, what the people might
certainly
need?
Certainly. The one that always comes to mind, as I said a few moments ago, the people need hope. And maybe more than hope, they need a living hope. I think the country needs leaders that are honest, leaders that have integrity, that will, in essence, put the best interest of the people at heart, as opposed to putting their interests first and just robbing the country of all of its resources. And every time I see that, my heart breaks for the country. I believe the country needs leaders that will work diligently at finding permanent jobs for the next generation. And in so doing, they will help these citizens to be able to develop a good self-worth and a great self-esteem that I believe is badly and sadly lacking. And of course, the children, would you believe, it's hard to think of a place where you don't have community centers, you don't have recreational spaces. I'm speaking about a whole country. Just a place to play and be kids, they don't have that. They just need that. But of course, most important of all, they need a solid biblical foundation. And the reason why I believe God is calling us back there, one of the reasons, is so that that next generation is not lost to Christ. And when I look and listen to all that's happening around the world, I say, God, whatever we can do, however you can use us, please do so, because we don't want to lose the next generation for you.
Wow. That's good. Yeah, go ahead. And Colin and Dorsley, what will your ministry look like when you're in Guyana?
So glad you asked. It may not be your typical global worker type of an agenda, because we had the privilege of sitting with some of the ministers in the government a year ago and shared with them our mission vision. And as a result of that, they've extended an invitation to us to come and work with some of their ministries, Ministry of Social Services, Ministry of Health, and we're going to be spending a few days a week with them, working in the areas of suicide, depression, abuse, hunger, poverty, the whole works. And already Dorothy and I are praying about the first set of people who will come to know the Lord as Savior as a result of us working with the government. The other part of the week will be spent working with two major congregations. And I'm delighted to be spending time speaking into the lives of young men and women. They truly need mentorship. And I believe that even though I may not have an awful lot to offer, I think I'm at the stage in my life where I can share some of my experience with them and help them to realize that God wants to use them. So we want to raise up leaders for God. We want to help them to plant churches. We want to... Dorsey and I have already decided we're going to be rapping on doors in the community in which we're living in, starting from scratch, and just leading people to the Lord. And then, obviously, we will come across those who don't have anything to eat. We're prepared for that as well, and we're going to feed them accordingly. So those are just a few of the thoughts that we have in mind.
That's absolutely incredible. So now's your time to speak to us as a congregation, and what would you say to our congregation about missions involvement at any age, young, old, doesn't matter, anywhere in between? What would you say?
That's easy, because I've already had a pretty good orientation as I walk through your foyer. But first and foremost, for those at home, your ministry is right in your community. Your ministry is that neighbor that's so stressed that she needs someone to babysit that baby of hers while she can just get a break from all of those issues. Or that scene that needs a ride. It's amazing. You know, sometimes we think about big things, but these are some of the little things we can do. That person who's so stressed out that they've withdrawn within themselves, how about caring for the kids in the evening and having them just have a night out on their own? And then, of course, for those who are willing to continue along the missional route, or what's called the traditional missional route, I want to challenge you to be what I call a Christian broker. 2 weeks ago, I preached at a church, and that was the title of my message. And I came up with that because of a verse that I read again in Proverbs 19 and verse 17, and it simply says this. It says, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." It's like it was the first time I was reading that. I thought it was so ironic that the proverb would literally say to us, by caring for the poor, we're lending to God. I mean, how can you lend to someone who owns everything? but God, in his humor and in his graciousness and his realness, he says, "And by the way, I'm going to repay you handsomely." And I have found out that churches that have intentionally given themselves to prayer and financial giving to missions, you cannot stop them from going to the places where God has set out for them. And in their individual lives, in the leadership of the church, they just excel. And I want to pray this again for community, because I sense that God has set you apart to be a tremendous witness, not just at home, but abroad. So if you're looking for a ministry, sure, there are all kinds of opportunities for you.
What would be some, for our congregation, what would be some areas that we could consider in missions?
Wonderful. I have at least three I'd like to recommend to you. Yes, first of all, be a part of a short-term missions trip. And I'm only telling you what you guys have been doing here. So those of you who are able-bodied, those of you who feel like Murray, you still can do 100 kilometers, I want you to get out there and choose some part of the world where you can give back. Someone once said, "Pastor, what do you do to this generation of kids that have everything? How do you show them the importance of God?" And I said to them, anything after 12 years of age, ask for permission to take your child to one of the poorer countries in the world. That will cure everything. Take them to Honduras, where kids between the ages of about 6 to 13 cannot wait for the dump truck to come to dump the food that was thrown out in the restaurants the night before. And those kids wade through the garbage to see if they can find pieces of meat and bread. That will cure any kid of yours that feels that they are privileged and they live an intentional life. Secondly, if you haven't done so already, I would say be intentional in starting some small groups that are specifically designed for missions. Murray, you might have known this, or maybe they haven't shared with you yet, Amara and Nadi, but they have now started a small group at Cedar View just based on the mission trip that they did to Guyana this past summer. And they have a chat line, and you would be amazed at how many people are being blessed and encouraged. And there will be several other groups that are going to come out of that one group. And then thirdly, you're doing this already as well. Make giving of your resources and make your prayer major priorities so that the Great Commission can be fulfilled through your lives.
Wow, that's really good. Did you know that we actually do have a really audacious goal here at our church? Is that every single person in this congregation would experience a short-term missions trip. And through COVID, we've had to kind of put some pauses on some things, but we're starting back up in the near future with a youth team going out. But if you are interested in going on a short-term missions trip, a short-term missions experience, come and see us, because it is our goal that every single person in this body does go and experiences, because there's nothing like having your feet on the ground and smelling and tasting and just experiencing something different. Yeah. And lastly, we have one more question for you. What do you feel that God is saying to the church about his mission worldwide?
Well, if you listen to the report that Murray brought, you will agree with me that there is still much work to be done. Friends, I really cannot see myself sitting around in what they call retirement years And knowing that there are at least 2 to 3 billion people in the world who still need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the funny thing, Pastor Steve, is that even in Guyana, which is supposed to be a Christian country, you'd be amazed how high the percentage of people are who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And here's the thing. In every country, in every community, there will always be opportunities for us to draw near to God through our hands being extended to the poor. I love the way Jesus put it. He says, the poor you'll always have with you. You'll always have the poor with you. I've never gone to a country and not seen poverty. And I believe among the things that Jesus wanted to share with us in that verse, he probably was saying this as well. Because you'll always have the poor with you, you will always have opportunities to be God's hands extended to meet their needs. And so I really feel that we need to do this. Deuteronomy 15 and 11 states it this way. There will always be poor people in the land. Always. And so the command was given to be open-handed towards our fellow people who are poor and needy in the land. So, we want to represent Christ to the best of our ability. And we want to be able to give back to Guyana some of what God has given to us in leadership, working with the poor, working with the mentally that need help, and all that God has set in our hearts to do.
Wow. Dorsley, Colin, do you have any final thoughts, anything you'd love to say to our church, to our congregation?
I want to say thank you so much for having us. And we are so excited about what we have heard this morning from Murray, and it just tells us that each one of us have a part to play. Because missions is not just going, it's giving, but it's praying, even more importantly. When I speak to people about missions and what we are about to do, I ask them, first of all, please be our prayer partner. Anything other, in addition to that is going to be a blessing, but first and foremost, be a prayer partner. And in saying that, I have also like to give you the opportunity to pray for us. We brought some prayer cards. A few of our prayer requests are on the reverse side of the card. When you're exiting the church this morning, you'd be handed a card, or you please ask for a card. And we're simply asking you to remember Dorsley and Colin and the people of Guyana. God bless you and thank you. Pastor, it's been wonderful being here with you.
It's fantastic. Yes, let's give them a hand. We would love the opportunity to be a prayer partner with you. And we've asked Pastor Beth, who I know that you know, and she's going to come and we're going to pray.
What an inspiration, folks. We never retire when we're in God's family. We never retire. I've known the Gittens, watched their ministry, and what an inspiration to each one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, O God, to stand with the Gittens this morning, O God. Father, we thank you for their years of faithful service here in Ontario. God, we thank you for their ears to be open to your still small voice that is now directing them to a new ministry, a new season of ministry. Father, I pray that you would continue to go before them, O God, continue to make the path straight. Father, may their steps be ordained by you. Father, thank you for already the connections that they have made with government officials. Lord, may those individuals come to know you as Lord and Savior by having a connection with the Gittens, O God. Father, we pray that as they reach out to Guyana, Lord, in particular cities, O God, Father, that the need that is so evident in the younger generation, Lord, that they will have insight to know how to minister to the next generation, O God. Father, that they would be dispensers of hope that you have within us, that you are the hope for the world. Father, we pray that they would know without a shadow of a doubt that you are making the way for them because you are the way maker. Father, we pray that you would instill in them a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit, oh God. Give them strength, God. Equip them in new ways. Empower them in new ways, oh God, like they've never known before. Father, may they just see your blessings resting all over the work of their hands, oh God. And may we hear of lives being transformed for your honor and glory. Father, as they are rescue agents for you, oh God, whether out of poverty or whether out of the need to know you as Lord and Savior, may above all you receive the honor and the glory. So God, we pray that as they move into the new year, into February, and actually having their feet landing there, oh God, may they be blown away by what you have already prepared and what you will do through them. So Lord, we just pray blessings upon them. May they be encouraged and may they know that you indeed are their God that is leading them. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.